How well you express yourself can have massive implications on how people respond to you. And the danger is, if you fall into speaking habits that don't serve you or represent you as you want to be represented, then you can end up misunderstood, misrepresented, and miserable.
Sound familiar?
In this video, I'll map out a 10-step system for change that you can use to greater control how you express yourself so your words match your intent. Number one, understand expression. This is where your personality, energy, and authenticity become traits you either choose to speak with or just allow to happen. How much of you comes through? I mean, it's the difference between sounding human and sounding mechanical, right? You want to be able to express yourself freely in a way that others get who you are and what your intention is, as opposed to just trying to follow the steps and end up being robotic and boring and often monotone too. You don't want that. I'd say that how you express yourself is your delivery style. You might even call that your vocal or verbal branding. And I believe it's all down to the connection between your vocal mechanism, your voice, your body, your instrument, your emotional self, how you perceive the world, how you feel in it, and your performance of it. So your technical ability and actual speaking choices that you make, the words you use and how you use them in the space you're in. It's the delivery, it's the presentation, it's your gift to the world. In this series, I've already outlined many different modes of vocal expression, from vocal clarity to vocal tone and depth. And whilst there's other videos to come, I think expression really is like the culmination of all of these things. It is when you put all these elements together that produces your vocal expression. And if you wanted to go through all of the videos and take the notes and the exercises that go with them, you'd have to join my school community, where I'm uploading these every week with a breakdown of how you can put it into practice. Two, study examples. I'd like you to find just two people who you feel express themselves well. Just two simple methods of expression. People who roll forward and people who roll back. And what I mean by that is people who either project their voice or their ideas, opinions, express themselves on to their audience, or people who tend to draw others in. They're two different techniques, but they're also approaches to expression. Find two people, one that does rolling forward and one that does rolling back, and just look at what they're doing. How are they approaching it? What changes in their voice? I'll give you an example. Like, you could look at someone like Donald Trump versus David Blaine, right? Donald Trump is, you know, he just blurts things out, right? He just says it like it is. He doesn't draw people in. He kind of just spills out what he's going to say. He's quite loose with it, right? He's expressive in his own way. Some might say a little bit clumsy and a little bit thoughtless, but he's genuinely natural to himself as he's doing that. But he does tend to like spill out. So he's like, I think he's a roll forward. Whereas David Blaine, the magician, he really draws people in. He sucks them in. He doesn't raise his voice. He stays quite stoic and calm. But yeah, I get the impression that he just draws you into his mystery, into his web. And it's a very different style. So look at other examples of that for yourself and see what you can discover just by, are they rolling forward? Are they rolling back? Number three, feel it in your body. Expression lives in the body, not just in your voice. I can't tell you the amount of times I've seen communication coaches telling other people to just stand still, pause at this point, take a breath here, walk over there, put your hands like that. Now walk back again on this line, raise your hand at this line because it indicates this or it shows that. And as a trained actor and someone who's been performing for over 30 years, I can tell you that's flipping balls. It's nonsense. That's not performance. That's puppeteering. Right, that's someone telling you exactly how you have to be. You want to be free as a speaker. And that, if that means you're moving your hands, that means you're moving your hands. Right? Okay, I do believe there are little tells that we give away about how we're feeling. For example, maybe scratching your nose, jutting your chin out, bringing your nose up, and, you know, doing things with our hands because we are nervous, like crossing our arms. I believe there's a lot of truth in those things, and you can eliminate some of those judgments people might unconsciously have of you by finding a more neutral way to stand. However, when you're expressing yourself, something goes on in your mind, and your hands tend to gesticulate your pathway through that. Some people read from their head. They read lines. And this is a habit I'd like, you know, most people to get out of if they could. And they punctuate with their hands. I see that happening. That kind of repetition and that habit, I don't feel is necessarily good, because when you're reading in your head, you're not really present in the moment. You want to be able to not think about what you're going to say and allow it just to come out. Your hands help you express that. They free you. And I'm not saying you have to move your hands, because you might be someone who doesn't feel that's natural. But for me, it really is. And to be told not to do that, or to hold my hands in a specific way, actually blocks me. It cuts me off from being able to speak at length freely and improvise like I did this whole section. So in order to test this for yourself, what I'd like you to do is two things. Whether you're expressive or not, I want you to first maybe stand still or sit still, sit on your hands, do not move. I want you to say this line and mean it. Through good tone, all not part must serve and then shape fit speech. That's it. Through good tone, all not part must serve and then shape fit speech. You're not allowed to move at all. You have to keep yourself absolutely still. Then take your hands out, free yourself up, and just blah, 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 whatever. Just say it as whatever. Through good tone, all not part must serve and then shape fit speech. Okay, so I'm repeating a line. Didn't gesticulate because I'm not really thinking. I'm not creating anything like I am now. You can see my hands change. But I can be quite still for that. Through good tone, all not part must serve and then shape fit speech. But if I'm told to sit still or do something or hold a posture, I become very stuck. And I think my voice is less expressive also. When I was sitting on my hands, let's have a look back. Through good tone, all not part must serve and then shape fit speech. Now, I'm not doing this to say, look, see, I was still, so it works. Experience it for yourself. Try it. What happens if you are forced to stand still and you cannot move and you have to say that line? Then, if you're just free and you let yourself go, how does it change? What changes in you? You've got to be free to move. There's a difference between having the ability and the freedom to move and then rocking or moving or wandering because you're trying to avoid being present and connected in the moment. That's a very different thing, and there are different exercises to help you with that habit. However, this is about vocal expression, and vocal expression is much freer if you're free to move as well. Your whole body, your breathing is dynamic, right? The way we're connected, the way our bodies are physiologically, you know, kinesthetically connected. You know, we connect with ideas, our brains, our mouths and our hands and our legs and our feet. And so don't restrict yourself. It will help you express yourself more. If you feel that movement, or you're being told maybe that movement is putting people off or they can't understand you, I mean, you can find ways of neutralizing that, but we're going to do that in a different video. This is about being free to express yourself, not about restricting expression. 4, explore placement. There's a difference between placing your voice mechanically and purposefully. With purpose means there's an intent behind it, right? You know what you're saying and why you're saying it. But mechanically means you're just trying to follow a set, rigid set of rules. For example, like speak higher, lower, louder, quieter, slower, faster. That's instructive, but it doesn't really help you do that, because all you're going to be doing is remember, your mind's going to go to, I must speak faster, lower, louder, quieter, slower, you know, whatever you've been told to do or whatever you feel you should do. Forget all that. That's not how you're going to do it. When you connect with your intentions and you place your voice on who you're speaking to, you no longer have to consider how you're speaking. But there's a part of this which is active listening. So if you are truly listening and engaged with who you're speaking to, your audience, at the moment, you or my audience, you, just you, on your own, right there, through this lens. But I have to look at the lens. I can't see your eyes, can I? Right, so I'm sharing this, imagining that there's someone there. But having that direction frees me from thinking about what I'm doing. If I were to say, Darren, you need to slow down, that's fine. Take a breath. Slow my breath down and my voice will slow down, but my focus still needs to be outwards. By trying to force external outcomes, I'm actually limiting and blocking myself. And expression should be free and dynamic. But also, what you say and what you mean don't always have to be the same thing. No? Yes. Right, you can say something and mean something else. And you can even express your body in a different way that has a different meaning to what you're saying. But by placing your words on your audience, from listening to them, you are presenting yourself. You are gifting your words. And so there's the words that you say, and there's the intention of what you mean. or what you're really giving as you're saying those words. So what we're going to do, I've called this actions in the past. This comes from actioning. It's an acting technique. I want you to say, hey, you. And we're going to try and say it in different ways. Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you. Many different ways you can say it. It's the same words. You can say anything in any way you like. What's your intention? What are you trying to get the other person to feel? What are you actually giving them as opposed to just the word you're saying? This frees you because you stop focusing on yourself and you start focusing on your audience. And once you do that, you've placed the words out into the world and you're free to express without considering those methods of expression that you're using. The focus all goes out and expression is natural, authentic, genuine. That is worth striving for. Number five, play with dynamics. You may find that expressive voices tend to have, you know, a bigger variety, broader variety of like pace, rhythm, tone, volume even. And whilst it doesn't have to, and you don't have to, it does make for a more engaging performance when there is contrast, right? Dark and light, high and low, quiet and loud, soft and hard, whatever those contrasts are. And so whilst I said in the last part, don't, you know, make this superficial, don't mechanically do this, it's good to explore it as an experiment for yourself to see where you can go. Because if you've never gone that much louder or that much quieter or that much softer or that much harder or experienced like the further edges of your vocal capability, you don't know that you can go there and you're likely to stay in a safe zone. So by playing with dynamics and going further with them, you're opening up opportunities for you to use that naturally when you come back into your everyday speech. So if you want to express yourself, perhaps people are telling you that you're not clear enough or not loud enough or your voice is held and too high or something, practice going to new depths. Practice articulating clearer and pronunciating words with more clipped effect. Right? Practice, go further than you should until it's unnatural and maybe even go really loud. I want to be careful of the microphone and the neighbours, but also maybe really go very quiet. Going to these extremes is going to just allow you to go, oh, I can go there. Try and see these as approaches, right? So rather than just going loud, think that the person you're speaking to is further away. And rather than just speaking quiet, imagine the person you're speaking to is really close. And you're speaking into their ear, so you need to be delicate. And if you're, rather than trying to speak deeply, try to be serious. And rather than trying to speak high, just try to be light. And rather than just trying to speak softly, try to soothe the person you're speaking to. Try to calm them down, to pacify them. So these intentions will help you get to these different vocal dynamics. And once you've gone further, you'll be able to bring it down. Forget about it, and it will just be there for you. If you're looking for more volume or clarity, there are techniques that will help you, your body, your vocal instrument, achieve them better. And you can find a lot of that stuff on this channel, but also in my 8-week Improve Your Voice course, which is now live in my community on school. So if you join up, you can come and join us and join in. Join up, join us, join in. Woo-hoo! See you there. Oh, yeah, and last thing on dynamics, tongue twisters. These are really good because if you're someone who gets stuck, perhaps, or trips up over words or has difficulty speaking, maybe in English or at all, then tongue twisters will give you the opportunity to work through difficult sounds and phrases. So you play with these and get them correct as play, as practice, as exercise, as your workout. Then in the real world, you will automatically be able to just go past more difficult phrasings. Again, this is opening up your dynamics, your abilities, your vocal abilities. Number six, use imagery or colour. In this series, I've talked about using colour and imagery in different ways before. And I think in this one, colour is really useful because very similarly to placement, using your imagination to put words outside of you eliminates you trying to hold on to them and control them. So if freedom is expressive and dynamic, what kind of colour do you speak with currently? What is the, how expressive is it? How broad of a colour is that? What does it do for you if your voice were a colour? And if I was speaking, say, this is nice green, isn't it? Maybe my voice is a green today. And my natural ability is to speak in green. And everything I say is green. But if I wanted to go to blue, I might just change it to that. Maybe that's blue for me. Somehow my voice went higher and I seemed to put more volume into it, more effort. But I didn't think to do that. It just happened. Think of maybe grey. What does grey do to your voice? What changes? I've relaxed my jaw, my body has dropped down, I'm not doing anything, I'm trying to stay on one note only because to me grey is a little bit dull, flat and monotone. That's just what happened. That's how I express myself with blue. But generally I think I'm going, I tend to have quite an expressive voice, right? I tend to go up and down because I love playing with my voice. I find it exciting. And the thing is, if I'd never explored outside of my own natural habits, I would never discover that I had more on offer or more to play with. So think of colour. Think of, how does turquoise make you speak? What do you do if you're being red? And go with it. Don't second guess yourself. Play with it. See what happens. Because you're in that play, you will discover things that you wouldn't if someone just told you to speak up, speak clearer, speak louder, or sound softer. Bad advice. Good advice. Free yourself. Number 7, imply intention. We talked about placement and we've had the idea of using imagination and colour and whatnot. But if you know what you want from the person you're speaking to, not only listening to what they're receiving from you, but knowing what you're trying to give them, like we did with the hey you, right? We can change the way we say things by our intention. And this is basically the same thing, but if you ever forget your words, if you ever forget details of what you're supposed to be saying, or you feel uncomfortable, you can reconnect with what you want to give to the other person, right? Or why you are saying what you're saying. If you give a presentation and you find yourself getting nervous and self-conscious and stuck, first thing you do is relax your belly and allow air to just come in and breathe out. One full breath out. And when you breathe in next time, you say, what is the end goal of this entire presentation or speech or whatever it is you're saying? What is the purpose of it? Now, you need to think about the purpose of what you're saying before, as you're learning it, as you're rehearsing it. And if you've done that, then it's easy to come back to. If you haven't done that, then you've not prepared yourself properly. So having intention on the whole super objective, the main purpose, the why, the goal of the whole piece or presentation that you've learned will help you come back to that. When you do that, and you can reconnect with your purpose, your why for this piece, and the words will just come back to you. They come back. They find their way into you again. You don't have to think about where was I, because that's an easy way to get stuck. Or which word did I supposed to say? What did I miss? What's the purpose? It will always bring you back. It's like magic. You've got to trust it. But it will be there for you if you give in to it and breathe and reconnect. But you've got to have that purpose before you start. You might be a comedian and your purpose is to make people laugh. But you've got an end goal, you know, that you want them to leave with. If people left your speech or performance or conversation, what do you want them to walk away with? Do they take away, you know, information? Do they take away humor? Are they enlightened? Do they come away with mystery? Do they come away feeling powerful? What are you giving them? What do you want them to have? What's the why for them? Not just for yourself. What's their why? Connect with that as you breathe. And your expression, your vocal expression, will adapt itself towards that goal. You have to take a leap of faith, and trust me, I'm sorry, but without practicing it, you won't know. So get out there and do it. Number 8, remove tension. If there's one thing that blocks speakers and actors and singers more than anything, it's physical tension. I think it was Tony Robbins that said, if you change your physical state, you'll change your mental state, your emotional state. And it's absolutely right, because everything starts with the body. Everything starts with the breath. And if you're not giving yourself space to breathe, to move, to think, this tightness and tension, you're physically restricting your body, your instrument, And that has an impact on your psyche, on your mind, your emotions and your performance. It kind of goes with crossing yourself off as well, but physical blocks such as tension are the biggest killer of not only your ability to remember what you're saying and speak with vocal expression, but also speaking safely, having enough air to finish your sentences, having the ability to drop into your natural resonance and fill a room with your voice, which everyone can if they just allow themselves. Physical tension is the best way to get free in your voice and express yourself clearly, because without a finely tuned instrument, you can't play it no matter how much you know. You might be very cognitive and very smart and able to remember everything you need to say, but if your vocal instrument isn't ready for you, it won't come out the way it's intended. So free up your physical body. You will open up opportunities to express yourself more broadly. Sleep well, hydrate, get a massage once in a while. That's also very good advice. Number 9, reflect. When did you last feel that you expressed yourself well as you want? And then it doesn't have to be you were able to create a whole dynamic range of expression, but when the message and what you were sharing were congruent, where they worked. When was the last time that happened? Can you remember that? Can you think of it? Also, in the same breath, can you remember the last time you shared something and it didn't work? You were unable to express yourself as effectively as you would like to have. It's good to connect with both of these, because I want you to sort of think about those two and see if you could connect the dots. What was different? What changed? Was it the audience? Was it who you were speaking to or for? Was it something to do with how you felt beforehand? Did you have too much coffee? It made you anxious? Was it a first-time thing, or had you done something else before and you were comfortable because you had done it many times? What are the differences in those situations? Because what you can do is always create the conditions to express yourself more effectively. And if you can reflect on those times that you did something well and those times that it perhaps didn't go as well, you might be able to pre-plan and set yourself up for success next time. Or eliminate those things that might have got in your way. And maybe that's preparation. Maybe that's knowing what you're talking about. Maybe that's being physically relaxed and warm and limber and ready. Or maybe it's just because you're uncomfortable around people and you need to work on that. Whatever it is, you can do it once you recognize it. So reflect on what's worked and what hasn't worked. Figure out why. And you're on your way to becoming more expressive. Finally, number 10, journal. Write this all down. Don't just keep it in your head, don't memorize it, and don't type it up either. Get a pencil and a book, a journal, and a diary, and write down your thoughts, your feelings, what you've learned, what you've experienced. Tracking what happens as it happens allows you to come back to it later on. And so when I said about reflecting, if you don't acknowledge what you've reflected or have any way of coming back to record that, then you won't know what to change or what has changed. Keeping a journal is very important for you as a speaker, as a person, as a human. This is great for your technical growth. This is great for your emotional growth and your physical ability as a speaker. So if you want to express yourself more fully, with more dynamics and more in line with the message you want to share with the world, then keeping a journal really keeps you on track for that. As I said earlier on in the video, I am now running all my courses and one-to-one trainings and workshops live on the school platform. So there's a link below in the description box. And if you want to come along, you can start from just $9 a month to join and get involved. And in that, you get a free feedback analysis on your voice and where you are right now and what kind of work you need to look at in order to improve yourself. But also you get access to all the community, so you can see courses in there. There's workshops and live one-to-ones and Q&As that you can get involved with, depending on what tier you wanna come in at. I'm Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice, aka Vocabilities. And until the next time, look after your voice.